Father, I pray in the next couple of minutes that your anointing would rest in this, continue to rest in this room. Father, I pray that you would open our ears, soften our hearts, give us childlike faith. That, you know, just like I remember when my kids were little, they could believe. They believe everything I said. It's the innocent. Lord, I pray that you'd do the same thing with us this morning. You would give us childlike mindset. That we would trust and not reason with your word. We would trust and obey, Lord. Father, as I preach your word, teach your word, take it, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. We want to hear from you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, and God's people said, amen. So, you know, even praying this, I remember, maybe I give this story here before. I remember my kids when they were little. So I'm in the car driving with the three of them. You know, when you stop at the stoplight and the light turns, your light's red, and then all of a sudden, I can't remember where I find this. If you haven't done that to your kid, or they're not here anyway, you can try it, the little ones. You know, tell them, hey, I'm going to blow this red light green. Of course, you know, you look on the other side, you know when it's going to turn red, and then I blow. Oh, the kids were like, oh, daddy, wow. I mean, it was the most wonderful thing. You know, they think daddy has superpower. Of course, I was fooling them. They were innocent. They didn't know, you know, little tricks you show the kids. They think, wow. You know, every time I pray that God would give us a heart to receive, I always remember this. And until my kids start being a teenager and they figure out the trick. You know, the good thing is our Father in heaven, he never tricks us. There's no pretense in God. What he says is who he is. You know, something I was meditating on this week, and I said it. The thing is, what is the point for people who go to church? You know, I mean, like I noticed some of you guys visiting us. I'm thankful that you are here because you're visiting your family in town. But what's the point if you are here in church and yet you die and go to hell? What's the point? You know the gospel, you hear of the gospel, you know that Jesus came and died for your sins. What's the point? You grew up in church. You're living by a stream of water, yet you're dying of thirst. I'm glad you're here. And I tell you, Jesus is coming back. And I want to make sure everybody that comes here and sits here, I honor you for coming. But I want to make sure we are doing our part. If you are missing it, I hope it's not on me. I hope it's not on me. There's another show I like to watch. There's two shows I watch. I go on YouTube and I watch The World's Most Dangerous Road to Travel. Go try it. I'm not doing any publicity for that show, but it's very good. It's clean. It's just they take you to the worst of the worst road to travel. Go try it. It's very entertaining. The world's most dangerous road to travel. But I recently found another show on YouTube. It's border security, not the border, but like the TSA, like the airport. Most of us now, I heard they just had a new rule where when you travel, you don't have to take off your shoes. But I remember, I mean, we travel a lot in the years past, but I remember, man, when I'm going places, I'm taking the airplane, I wear no belt, and I wear like shoes I can flip, flip. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, of course, if you're coming up north and you got a jacket, I've seen those people, they're going through TSA, And I want you to picture the scanning machine. The scanning machine. The machine that you go through that goes, beep, beep, put your hands up. And sometimes, especially early in the morning, it's like, sir, put your hands up. Like, okay. All right? Yeah, put your hands up like this, and then the machine goes, whoosh, whoosh. It scans you, right? In case you have any metal. Guys, this show about TSA, the airport, it's amazing what people try to smuggle. What's that? Is that that word? Through security. I mean, go check it out. I mean, it's very fascinating to me. I'm like, don't you think? It's like people, they take chins. I mean, I'm like, what's making you think going through the X-ray machine, what's making you think they're not going to catch you? That when I watch that show, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, man, people are just so dumb. Because it's like, man, if anybody would be in their right mind, there's no way you can try to smuggle, like, you know, tons of pounds of cocaine or, I mean, crazy stuff. Go check it out. There's a verse in the Bible I've been meditating on, and I want to bring it to you. It's in John chapter 14, verse 30. But I want to go back. I want us to, we're going to read that verse, and then we're going to backtrack to the previous verses. This is what Jesus said. The ruler of this world has nothing in me. Meaning, when Jesus went through the X-ray of Satan, the X-ray of Satan skinned Christ and find nothing in him. Are you with me? You picturing? And I want you to picture you going to, we're going to Haiti, we're going on vacation, you know, to the Caribbean, and all of a sudden you're going through the X-ray machine, beep, 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 you're like, what's going on here? You had this beautiful knife. And that ever happened to you? This beautiful knife you bought, you love it, and you think you put it in your suitcase, but you didn't, it's in your pocket, and they're like, sir, you gotta throw it away. Oh, man, can I mail it? No, you gotta throw it away. What? Option do you have? Well, you can't go with it. There are certain things, there are things in our lives we cannot take in heaven with us, including our flesh. Let me repeat. Ooh, Lord, I have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world appears, he has no power over me. There are things you can't take. So this verse right here from the NLT, I want you to picture it. Jesus is going through the X-ray of Satan, and Satan is scanning. And Jesus says, he's got nothing in me. Me and Satan, we have nothing in common. He's got no power on me, over me. Now, I want you to picture yourself or imagine. If Jesus is saying Satan has no power, and we know for a fact, Satan has no power over Christ. Even death couldn't hold him down. Jesus is the firstborn of death. If Satan, the ruler of the world, has no power over Christ, what happened to me when Christ lives in me? Come on, can I have an amen? Come on, guys. I want you to imagine and see what I'm talking about here. So that's why when people are saying, well, you know what, I'm having bad dreams, the enemy is just after me, think twice about what you're saying. If you're really in Christ, do you think the enemy can touch you? Do you think, he can try. And that's what, thank you for sharing that testimony, Larry. Sometimes when we face trials and tribulations and, you know, and all kinds of issues, we're like, well, I even heard it. You know, people say, why does God allow good things to happen to, bad things happen to good people? But we fail to remember that the world is under, this world we live in is under the domination, the power of the devil. Can I have an amen? Amen. But thank God that I live in this world, but I am not living under the power of the devil. Oh man, come on guys, I hope you get it. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This gives you, what's the word I'm looking for? It gives you certainty in knowing who you are, that Satan cannot touch you. Satan cannot touch, in my house, Jesus said it, for anybody to go and rob a person's house, a big ruler's house, you have to go through the ruler. You got to go through that guy first. Now, if you go up to chapter 14, verse 1, this is what Jesus said. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more enough room in my Father's home. If this were not, I would have told you that I wouldn't have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will also be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. So Jesus is talking to this disciple saying, hey, in this world you will have trouble, but I give you my peace. Do not let your heart be troubled. I'm reading this book. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm reading this book about leading on empty. You know, it's talking about church leaders who leads they lead people on empty. You know, it's like you have nothing but you giving people. And the guy is talking about some of the things that cause us leaders or people who are upfront to depleted, right? For example, when you fill your car with gas, we hope, man, you could do some kind of miracle prayer and drive for a year. Even electric vehicles, you can't charge them for a year. As a matter of fact, depending on how much you drive, some of us, you have to make a loop to the gas station a couple times a week. Spiritually, it's the same thing. The presence of God. Reading the Bible. Meditating on the Word. Anxiety. The guy was talking about anxiety. He's like, you know what? Anxiety, the word, do not be anxious about anything. Do not fear. It appears 360 times in the Bible. So there is one, do not fear. Do not be afraid for each day, the Lord is saying. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Cast your care upon me. You know, would your worries, Jesus went on, he said, well, would my worries stop me being bald? I wish I had hair like sin. Sam, I envy your hair, man. I'm telling you, man. Jacob, you guys, you know, Dr. Vic, you know, me and Robert, man, sorry for you, but you're already bald. Like Ryan, you know. But would my worry change the fact that I'm getting thinner and thinner and thinner? I won't change anything. That's what it's talking about here. So anxiety will deplete your life. That's why Jesus here in John chapter 14, he said, do not worry. Oh man, don't we like to worry? I don't know, I like to worry. And if there would be anybody here like me, I would hear amen. Because you guys are looking at me like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, this is a safe place. We can be honest. We like to worry, even though we know we shouldn't worry. But when I say we like to worry, it's not like we really, literally like to worry. It's just like we worry. We worry about our children. We worry about our future. We worry about our retirement. We worry about the government. We worry about the country. We worry about the world. We worry. When the word of the Lord speaks so clearly to each of us saying, do not be afraid. And when we set our mind, when we change our mind to not be afraid, That's when we begin to please our God, because then we start living by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says it's totally impossible to please God without faith. Those who come before God must know He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Oh, man. Verse 4 says, and you know the way to where I'm going. And then one of the disciples says, no, we don't know the way, Lord. Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. When I read this, I say, Lord, call us. No one come to God except through Jesus. If you had already known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Meaning, anyone who encounters Jesus knows God. Jesus says, if you know me, the closer you walk with me, the more you know God. So God is not this distant Father sitting up in heaven like our Heavenly Father, looking at us, checking us out with this judgmental mindset, waiting for you to fail. Or when you fall, it's like, get up! No. God right now, through the eyes of Christ, sees us and offering mercy and grace. God's not judging anyone right now. Judgment will come. Judgment is coming. Thank you. But it's not now. Right now, it's the love of God that will lead our hearts to repentance. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father's who lives in me does his work through me. Verse 11. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work I have seen, you have seen me do. Verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, even greater works. Because I am going to be with the Father, and you can ask. The Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything. Ask for anything. In my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, which is who leads you to all the truth. And I like this. Now listen to this. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all the truth. And then this is right here. The world cannot receive him. Why? Because the world is not looking for him nor recognizing him. But you know him. Because he lives within you now and later will be in you. This is where we talk about the two different experiences in the Holy Spirit. We are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it doesn't stop there. You have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go, for when I go, my Father will breathe on you. You will receive power. Then when you receive power, this little shy spirit you used to have, you won't have it anymore. Okay? So we keep reading. It says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. I want you to see the intertwined, like the intimacy in me in Christ, Christ in me, Christ in God, and me in God in this verse. You cannot separate, you know, there is this You know, remember, I'm talking about Jesus is saying the ruler of this world has nothing in me. And I've seen people in the church, they live church life, work life. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not going to tell you to go look for it, but I'm sure unless your TV or your radio has been off, you probably would hear what happened to this CEO of this company that was cheating with his HR co-worker. That's why, guys, your reputation is who you are in public. You are as strong as your reputation. And I believe that's one of the reasons for years the church has the world has rejected the church, because they look in the church, they're like, well, what's the difference? You're cheating, they're cheating. A divorce rate in the church is almost as the same as in the world. You're lying, they're lying. What's the difference? And I'm looking at what's happening in the world, we're like, wow, God have mercy. And I believe this is more than ever. It's time to examine yourself. If the enemy would skin your life right now, if you would be going through the X-ray of Satan, what would he find? This has been my question. I pretty much have been putting my life under the radar of the Holy Spirit all week. All week. If you would be going under the radar of the Holy Spirit and the enemy scanning your life, what are some things? Can you say, like Christ said in verse 30, me and Satan, we have nothing in common. He's got no power over me. Now, Christ has done the work on the cross, so Satan has no power over you. But you have to do your part to remain in righteousness, to remain in holiness. You cannot have one foot in the world, one foot in God. It doesn't work. Your mouth can't be, praise the Lord, and then walk outside and curse another person. And be F this, F that. It's impossible. You cannot be in the Word and be in pornography or, you know, cheating or lying. When I say cheating, it could be, I run a business and I'm like, wow. What a privilege I have. Every time somebody give me a good review, they're testifying how great God is. Because when somebody hire me as a plumber, they get to experience the perfection of Christ. Think about it. That's why I don't get it when someone in the church, if they're running a business, they're cheating people. I don't get it. I don't have to strive for a good review. Because there's peace of mind. Once somebody experience me, they're going to experience the character of Christ. That's why Paul said, I treat myself with discipline, severity. So after I preach the gospel, people do not discard me. They say, you hypocrite. Now, we can also testify what the world is doing. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, this person become a new creation. God does not hold your past against you. But I also believe us as church leaders, people who God called to be examples in everything we do, we must be above reproach. If we fail the office, those who fail the office, they need to sit down, you know, get off the pulpit, get schooled and, you know, discipline and restoration. And eventually, by God's grace, in God's timing, be restored. But if anyone, like my past sin, my life before I know Christ, that person is dead. But you see what the world is doing right now. They're going and digging people's past. The accuser of the brethren. That's Satan. And you see it in the church. Even after I got married, the guy that after I got married is dead. Me, the Ricardo that Kendra married is dead. I'm renewing, I'm laying my life on the altar every day so I could be dead to self. And I like this. Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, I'm talking about Jesus is saying, the ruler of this world has nothing in me. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 from the NLT. It says, those who belong to Christ, everybody repeat, belong. Belong. Let's say it again louder. If you can, in case you're sleeping, maybe you can wake yourself up. Belong.
Belong.
There you go. Anyone who belongs to Christ has nailed what? The passion and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Now let's look at three words here. Belong, nailed, and crucified. Now crucified, in our age we don't crucify anybody, literally. But think, in the time of Christ, you crucify someone you condemn. You crucify someone you hate. Now, unless you hate a sin, unless you get a revelation that this type of character in my life is will separate me from the glory of God, unless you see that, you won't crucify. Meaning, if you love your sins so much, your sin will prevent you from seeing the glory of God. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ will nail. Will nail. Don't you love the word of God? Thank you, God, for your word. Anyone who belongs to Christ have nailed the passion and the desire of their sinful nature to his cross. In this verse, you see being identified with Christ. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part. Everybody say every part. In every part. So you cannot have a Christian life and a social life or a professional life. If you are in Christ, there is no public life and private life. It's one life. Are you with me? If you are in Jesus, there is no separation between your trade work and your private life, your public life. It's one. I'm going to read it again. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion. Amen. Of their sinful nature. Crucify them. And since we are living by the Spirit. Now listen to this. I'm going to go back to John. The Greek word for nothing is the... It's Aorus, but you're not going to remember that. It means Satan has nothing in me. What are some things? What are some characteristics that would be Satan in our lives? Do you tell lies? Are you truthful? Are you honest? Are you loving? Oh, I like this word. I like this word right here. It says, the last verse in Galatians, I like the word where it says, do not be conceited. It says, those who belong to Christ, the verse 26 says, let us not become conceited. Jealous. You know, for example, somebody could be here in the church, and then here comes Brother Vic, and Brother Vic's preaching, and all of a sudden, you're thinking, well, how come Vic's preaching, and I've been here forever, and I've never preached? That's jealousy. You know, I've got my little motorcycle and you see my little motorcycle and you're like, man, how come he's got a motorcycle? I don't have a motorcycle. That's envy. That's jealousy. You want the other person's car. You want the other person's house. And that's why I told you sometimes the American dream can be demonic, because people go out, put themselves, bury themselves in debt. Because I've never met the Jones, but I heard about the Jones. Because they want to be like the Jones. You know, you see your neighbors, they all start changing their cars, and all of a sudden you're giving your husband grief because you're driving a 1997 Toyota Corolla. But what you fail to understand, a 1997 Toyota Corolla has a carburetor. If it's still running good, keep changing the oil. That thing might last you 800 miles, 800,000 miles. Do not become conceited. Conceited, that word, man, underline it in your Bible. Because sometimes I think we read the Bible too fast. We go over the words, you're like, okay, do not become conceited, excessively proud of self. Are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of your achievement? I've done this, I've done that, I have a doctor in this, I have a master in that. You know, I can do this, I can do that. You know, somebody, there was this guy who was a worship leader, and, you know, he was very gifted, and people would compliment him, like, you know, encouraging him. And every time somebody would encourage him, he's like, oh, yeah, man, yeah, I know. Somebody's like, man, you know, the Lord was using you, you know, thank you for playing. Instead of, thank you, you know, God, you know, thank you, brother, all the glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I give praise. Thanks for your encouragement. Instead of that, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, man, yeah. Of course. Of course. Really? And then we go on to the fact that whoever started with the whole Pride Month. Do you know pride comes before fall? And we need to pray for this generation who believe in pride. Because God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. So you telling me, when we go through the church, people who goes to church, when you go through the x-rays of the enemy, and you're like, no wonder we're not blessed. No wonder people in the world are dying with anxiety, and people in the church also are dying with anxiety. Because all these things we're talking about here, they are part of Satan's nature. Are you faithful? Are you a person who keeps your word? When you say something, do you keep it no matter what the cost? Are you loyal? And one of the things that's happening, being a pastor, I always say, all right, if you're looking for a church, what are you looking for in the church? If you would be me, I've only been member of three churches, and I'm still member. It's my church, my home church in Haiti, and my home church in Florida, which is our mother church of Restoration Network, and then this church. But when I go to a church, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm like, the first question, Lord, is this where you want me? So really, I have been part of church where it's like it's organ. This is where God wants me. I remember when we went to Florida, it was just, we went to the church, we walked in, God said, this is it, this is home, you plant in. The pastor never called me. Never checked on me. I never got a phone call. I mean, like us, we're creating a culture here. When somebody come and visit, they fill out a connection card. That gives me the green light to call you, to reach out, to kind of get you connected. But I remember the pastor never called me. But I didn't really care because I knew I was supposed to be there. So I plugged in. I'm like, okay, well, what's home groups? Get me connected. And then I thought I was going to join the worship team. The Lord's like, no. Remember, it was like maybe 8 months to a year or something like that. I didn't really join anything. I mean, I would be itchy down there because I wanted to play. See, here I am. I'm part of this church, and I can play. I can sing. But then the Lord, for my season, I came from a church. I came from Haiti. I was already a leader, gifted. But then my season was for me to sit. I did. I waited. I served. I was involved in home groups. I was just getting ministered to. And then one day, I heard the worship leader said, if anybody play music, instrument, you sing, we need help. And then I felt the green light. I stepped forward. Give my name. Next Tuesday, I met the worship team. What can you play, Ricardo? Remember, I've been with them for a while. What can you play? I was like, I can play the guitar. Electric guitar is my thing. Okay, cool. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a guitar. Give me a guitar. And I start playing with the band. Everybody's like, hang on. You knew how to play all this time? They actually bought me two guitars the next month. They bought me an acoustic and electric. And I became a worship leader in that church. I say this to say, once again, if you would be going through the X-ray of the enemy, what is it? Is it bitterness? Is it manipulation in relationships? Is it yourself? Well, if it is yourself, I'm telling you again, you cannot take self to heaven. And if you're not careful, self will prevent you from going. If we love ourselves, once again, I go back to the word deceit. It's vain, narcissistic. Please with oneself. You know, I mean, of course, we've got all mix of ages here. And you would be surprised what 65 years old do. Because when you're thinking about sexual promiscuity or sin, you're thinking 18, 20, really? And if you talk about those 72 years old, 62 years old, you're like, man, I thought maybe you might be a little old. No. So the heart of men is perverted. The heart of men is perverted. Until we see Jesus face to face, we need to have this attitude of repentance. We need to have this attitude, man, God, is the light shining in? Is your passport ready? Do you have your passport? Nowadays, it's the new thing, you know? Do you have a ID, whatever? Real ID? Do you have your real spiritual ID? I might bring a sermon like that. Your real ID. You might help me out. Right? Your real ID. Do you have your real ID spiritually? Are you ready? If death will call you home tonight, or are you just holding to the past? You know, like, once again, thank you, Larry, for I mentioned that a couple times. We go through tough time. We lose loved ones. We lost loved ones. You know, our nephew, our nieces, our fathers, our husbands, our wives, you know, they all of a sudden being called home and leave us down here. Sometimes you feel like it's not fair. People go through tough time. But what attitude must I have? I invite Alyssa to come in the worship team. And I want to give you guys an opportunity to respond to God's word this morning. The ruler of this world has nothing in me. Be reminded that Satan has control of this earth. But you're not under the domination. That's the word. Domination. Under the power of the enemy. This morning, would you give answer to the call of God? If you are here and you need repentance. When I say repentance, I'm talking about, doesn't have to be like you in sin. You just need to come to the cross and make things right with Father. Or expose yourself under His light. Give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. I believe God's speaking. What are some things you could say? The Lord's putting finger on it in your heart. The altar is a safe place. So come to the altar. Give an answer to the Lord. You know, I asked my ministry team, Robert, Betty, Kendra, Amy, to make themselves available. If any of you needs prayer, I'll be available too. Come to Jesus this morning.